This time it was like standing in the center of a sun which goes supernova in one sudden, heatless gust of light. Kevin felt as if his shadow had actually been hammered off his heels and driven into the wall. Perhaps this was at least partly true, for all of the wall behind him was instantly flash-baked and threaded with a thousand crazy cracks, except for one sunken area where his shadow fell. His outline, as clear and unmistakable as a silhouette cutout, was tattooed there, with one elbow stuck out in a flying wedge, caught and frozen even as the arm which cast the shadow left its frozen image behind, rising to bring the new camera up to his face. The top of the camera in Pop's hands tore free of the rest with a thick sound, like a very fat man clearing his throat. The sundog growled, and this time that bass thunder was loud enough, clear enough, near enough, to shatter the glass in the fronts of the clocks, and to send the glass in the mirrors and in the frames of pictures belching across the floor in momentary crystal arcs of amazing and improbable beauty. The camera did not moan or whine this time. The sound of its mechanism was a scream, high and thrilling, like a woman who is dying in the throes of a breech delivery. The square of paper which shoved and bulled its way out of that slitted opening smoked and fumed. Then the dark delivery slot itself began to melt, one side drooping downward, the other wrinkling upward, all of it beginning to yawn like a toothless mouth. A bubble was forming upon the shiny surface of the last picture, which still hung in the widening mouth of the channel from which the Polaroid sun gave birth to its photographs. As Kevin watched, frozen, looking through a curtain of flashing, zinging dots that last white explosion had put in front of his eyes, the sundog roared again. The sound was smaller now, with less of that sense that it was coming from beneath and from everywhere, but it was also more deadly, because it was more real, more here. Part of the dissolving camera blew backward in a great gray goblin, striking Pop Merrill's neck and expanding into a necklace. Suddenly, both Pop's jugular vein and carotid artery gave way in spraying gouts of blood that jetted upward and outward in bright red spirals. Pop's head whipped bonelessly backward. The bubble on the surface of the picture grew. The picture itself began to jitter in the yawning slot at the bottom of the now decapitated camera. Its sides began to spread, as if the picture was no longer on cardboard at all, but some flexible substance like knitted nylon. It wiggled back and forth in the slot, and Kevin thought of the cowboy boots he had gotten for his birthday 2 years ago, and how he had had to wiggle his feet into them because they were a little too tight. The edges of the picture struck the edges of the camera delivery slot where they should have stuck firmly. But the camera was no longer a solid, was, in fact, losing all resemblance to what it had been. The edges of the picture sliced through its sides as cleanly as the razor-sharp sides of a good double-edged knife slide through tender meat. They poked through what had been the Polaroid's housing, sending gray drops of smoking plastic flying into the dim air. One landed on a dry, crumbling stack of old Popular Mechanics magazines and burrowed a fuming, charred hole into them. The dog roared again, an angry, ugly sound, a cry of something with nothing but rending and killing on its mind. Those things and nothing else. The picture teetered on the edge of the sagging, dissolving slit, which now looked more like the bell of some misshapen wind instrument than anything else, and then fell forward to the desk with the speed of a stone tumbling into a well. Kevin felt a hand claw at his shoulder. "What's it doing?" his father asked hoarsely. "Jesus Christ Almighty, Kevin, what's it doing?" Kevin heard himself answer in a remote, almost disinterested voice. "Being born,"